What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And if you watched Donald Trump's presser this morning, where he was talking about signing the executive order over the separation of children from families, something very weird kind of happened on ABC's feed. Because right in the middle of it, that little lower third, the Chyron, came up with a banner headline, Manafort pleads guilty to 5 charges of manslaughter. And it wasn't up there for very long, but of course, Manafort has not, in fact, pled guilty to 5 charges of manslaughter. He has not been charged with manslaughter. And ABC has tweeted out an apology and say they're investigating to find out what happened. Well, I would say that somebody with a political bias at ABC just decided to sneak that in there and get some fake news going. But that's very unprofessional. And maybe it's my bias coming out of having worked in the entertainment industry and having actually worked for ABC briefly during that time. It's unprofessional to do things like that. And it seems like with all the political corruption coming out of our capital, it's starting to impact the rest of the country. There's an old saying that a fish rots from the head. And another way of putting it is that any hierarchical structure, whether it's a corporation or an entire nation, will eventually inherit the morals and manners and behavior of those at the very top. And we certainly seem to be seeing that a lot. Okay, let's get on down here to the Yemen. Things are going very, very bad there. After 3 years of conflict, it's estimated 22 million people out of a population of 27 million in Yemen are in need of humanitarian assistance. Some 4.5 million children and women are suffering from malnutrition. 2.9 million people are internally displaced. This is a humanitarian catastrophe by any measure. And still, Great Britain and the United States and Saudi Arabia continue to pound on them because they won't accept their internationally approved government. Now, the corporate media likes to call them the Houthi rebels. They're not rebels. The Houthi are the government of Yemen. They were the government of Yemen before the U.S. went in several years ago and did an intervention and brought down the legitimate Yemeni government and put in puppet rulers. And the people of Yemen said they don't want to live under puppet rule. And that's where this all came about. The U.S. needs to smash Yemen down and make an example of them so that the rest of the provinces of the American empire don't get these uppity ideas that they can stop being part of the American empire. Now, the battle for Hodeidah, which is the Yemeni port city, is intensifying. The Saudis are in control of the airport. The port, however, is still open. And the dock workers, knowing what they risk, are still at the dock unloading aid from United Nations ships as fast as they can. And they know how important it is. Now, at some point, sadly, I think the port is going to fall under the control of the U.S., Saudi, British, I think French are in there now, coalition. And the people of Yemen are going to be cut off. And at that point, I would like to hope the United Nations would step up and say there has to be humanitarian aid. But of course, if it goes to the Security Council, it'll get vetoed again by the United States, possibly Great Britain. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia has announced they're going to have a relief plan. Not to worry, there's no humanitarian disaster coming. We're going to take care of it all. But the International Rescue Committee has dismissed this Saudi coalition relief plan as little more than a public relations gimmick. And that if Saudi Arabia really was concerned about the civilian, non-combatant population of Yemen, then what they would be easiest to do is to keep that port open for humanitarian aid after they take control of it. But I don't think that's going to happen. The goal is to literally starve an entire nation of people into surrendering their own government and accepting foreign rule. We're getting reports from some of the Yemeni prisoners that the United Arab Emirates officers are engaging in torture, that they've set up 18 secret prisons in Yemen. This is being reported by Associated Press. And it's like Abu Ghraib all over again. Humiliating, sexual torture, real torture. And all of it backed by the United States government. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Now, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, at a meeting with CSTO foreign ministers in Almaty, announced Russia's desire to gain access to what are called reference laboratories that were opened with U.S. financial support in Armenia and Kazakhstan. What he's talking about are laboratories producing biological weapons. And Lavrov basically quoted the publication Kommersant. Our special services and scientists are tense with the appearance of these laboratories. They do not rule out this can somehow be later used against us. And there's a valid concern. As you know, biological weapons were banned by international treaty. The United States still hasn't destroyed their stockpiles. There is reason to think that the massive cholera outbreak going on in Yemen is a biological attack. And it wouldn't be the first time that cholera is used as a biological weapon. When Japan was going into China prior to World War II, they were throwing cholera in all the wells of all the villages they passed. And then you have to look at how the Doctors Without Borders went into Yemen and set up a dedicated cholera treatment facility. And just as soon as it was completed, it was bombed. Down in Israel, there's been more bombings by Israel in Gaza. They hit 9 targets in Gaza, insisting that they're only targeting Hamas infrastructure. But in a place packed that tightly, you can't avoid hitting civilians. And it's not like Israel has ever demonstrated a concern about not hitting civilians, especially if you remember the Bloody Monday massacre, where those Israeli snipers in fortified positions were shooting at civilian non-combatants with these butterfly bullets that are designed to inflict maximum damage. They were hitting protesters. They were targeting the journalists. They were targeting the first responders. Israel is now looking at a law that would allow the seizure of Christian properties. Now, the Islamic Christian Commission for the Support of Jerusalem and Holy Sites has warned of a draft law for a project which would allow the Israeli occupation government to confiscate land sold by the Orthodox Church to private investors. Now, it's kind of a roundabout way, but apparently Israel has always coveted that land. And the Orthodox Church is in serious financial straits. They're basically cut off. Tourists can't get there. Worshippers can't get there. And they're running out of money. Right now, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is actually closed. They don't have enough funds to operate. But the leaders of 3 main churches in Jerusalem sent a message to Netanyahu asking him to scrap this bill, which would allow the government to expropriate church land in the holy city. Of course, you know, Netanyahu's idea is Israel is supposed to be a Jewish-only nation. And there's no secret. Israel wants that Temple Mount. They want the Muslim religious edifices off of it. They've never been respectful to the Christian edifices. They're openly hostile. You know, something that's always bothered me about the Christian Zionists in this country and how they love Israel and they support Israel, and they don't understand that that love and respect and support is a one-way street, because Israel is disdainful of Christians inside Israel. Israel is also trying to intensify the links between BDS and terrorism. Of course, there are no links. And one of the things we have to be careful about is over time, the definition of terrorism is being mutated. They want you to react to the shock value of terrorism and terror as it starts getting applied to things which aren't really acts of terrorism. Now, an act of terrorism is somebody goes on in to a public place and they set off a bomb, and then they release a message saying, we are the United Belly Button Lint Front, and there will be more bombings unless you do this. Because in a genuine act of terrorism, there's always sociopolitical intent behind it. But Israeli Strategic Affairs Minister Gilad Erdan is upping the government's efforts to link the BDS movement with terrorism, saying that they're trying to get it declared a terrorist organization, at which point subservient governments around the world, including the United States of America, could move to actually shut it down. Now, getting on back to the Bloody Monday massacre, and I mentioned this appears to be Israel's equivalent of the Amritsar massacre in India, which was a turning point. Historians look back at that and realize that's the point at which British control over India began to decline, leading to Britain eventually leaving with as much dignity and grace as they could, and India and Pakistan becoming their own independent nations. And while Jews in Israel are reported as being fully on board with the violence being done to the Palestinians, we're hearing from Jews in other countries, no, this was across the line. And over in Great Britain, 75 members of the Jewish community sent an open letter to the Board of Deputies of British Jews condemning its support for Israel's violence against Palestinian protesters in the Gaza border. And the letter read, "We are appalled that the Board of Deputies, which claims to be the voice of British Jews, has once again attempted to justify the massacre of unarmed Palestinian people by the Israeli military." And it takes a lot for Jewish people to say things like that, because it's actually part of their religion that you're never to criticize publicly a fellow Jew. And so they're literally going against their own religious dogma to stand up and do what is, for lack of any other description, to do what's right. To do what's right and point out that what Israel is doing to the Palestinians is wrong. And it almost looks like Israel is just ramping up the abuse and provocations, because now we're hearing that Israeli soldiers are setting dogs on elderly Palestinians and kids in the Jenin refugee camp. And when they go into the Jenin refugee camp, apparently these 10 Israeli soldiers raided the refugee camp at 4 o'clock in the morning with two attack dogs. They forcibly entered two homes, woke up all the residents, turned the homes topsy-turvy, and detained two people. Now, there's another story that has come on out, this one from the Middle East Monitor, where Israeli forces are now demanding the residents of the Tel Ramudi neighborhood in Hebron to strip before going through the checkpoint to enter their homes, just to completely strip, which was something the Nazis used to do, I would like to point out. But when you look at all of this, night raids, attack dogs, for the West Bank Palestinians, their homes are certainly not their castles. And Israel's border police are increasingly using attack dogs to go after people in the middle of the night. And this is on top of other little fun things the IDF likes to do, like welding the doors shut and telling the people they have to go in and out of the broken windows. Now, as you know, Israel is getting ready to pass a law that will make it a jailable offense to take pictures or videos of an Israeli soldier abusing a Palestinian. And this bill was proposed by four members of Avigdor Lieberman's far-right Israel Beitenu party, and they're making it a crime, punishable by 5 years in prison. And if they can add on that the intent is to harm state security, the punishment doubles to 10 years in prison. And according to Haaretz, the bill is expected to gain the support of the entire government in a vote on Sunday. Now, there is a bit of a wrinkle, because Israel's attorney general is saying that the bill in its current form will not pass constitutional muster. So we have one person who's standing up and saying this is not really something that is right to do. But Israel apparently is panicking. They've got a PR disaster on their hands. I mean, Israel has been abusing the Palestinians for decades, but they got away with it because the rest of the world got a highly sanitized, filtered, manufactured image of poor, helpless Israel and those evil, mean Palestinians. And they worked hard to maintain that illusion, and that illusion is now gone. And Israel doesn't want to change their behavior. That would be tantamount to admitting that what they were doing was wrong. And Israel never admits that they do something that's wrong. So now they're trying to basically get control of the information. They want to basically bring down, if you will, a video curtain around Gaza and the West Bank so that the corporate media can go back to selling the idea of poor, helpless Israel under existential threat from those mean, evil Palestinians. But the situation has reached a point where the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, is saying this escalation of violence in Gaza is bringing Israel and Gaza to the brink of war. Now, that would be a bad thing because Gaza would certainly lose it. And in fact, it may be that Israel wants there to be a war if they can figure out a way to make it look like it's the Palestinians' fault. And we've seen over the past decades, every 3 to 5 years, Israel will gin up an excuse and just go on in and bomb the heck out of Gaza. Now, Guterres came on out and said that Israel's military has a responsibility to exercise maximum restraint, and that such violence, as we've seen, should only be a last resort if Israel is actually being threatened, which Israel's trying to claim that the Palestinians along the fence, they're there with Hamas. They're going to rush the fence and kidnap Israeli soldiers. And no. The videos show they were out there with banners protesting for their right of return, which was guaranteed to them by the United Nations and agreed to by Israel as a condition of its membership in the United Nations. Now, as you know, Donald Trump has pulled the United States out of the United Nations Human Rights Council, screaming that it's biased against Israel because, I mean, come on, what nation isn't shooting its own civilians with these expanding bullets? And the rest of the world has absolutely condemned the United States for this. The EU has condemned the United States for pulling out of the Human Rights Council. China's condemned it. And I want to point out this utter hypocrisy here, because when the U.S. first went into Syria, they said the reason we have to go on in there is that Bashar al-Assad is killing his own people. He's killing civilians in his own country. And they've used that excuse other places. They used it in Iraq. And yet here we have Israel, where the government is killing their own civilians with these illegal bullets. And the U.S. response is, well, it's no big deal. You know, how dare the Human Rights Council make a big issue out of this? I mean, it's just not really a big deal. It's not worth talking about. But it certainly will end the United States' image as a champion of human rights around the world. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. So let's talk about the economic news, because along with the very real wars all over the globe, there is an economic war, a trade war, that is rapidly escalating. And the main theater of operation, if you will, is China. And as one side will do tariffs and then the other side responds, And then Trump adds more, and then China adds more. And it is escalating. And as a result, we've had rather rough times on the stock market. People are getting very nervous and very scared. The Dow ended in the red again today. Not by that much, but it's still, I think, like the seventh consecutive day of drops here. China is cutting their U.S. investments by 92%. Because of the trade war. And Chinese investments totaled $1.8 billion from January through May, representing a 92% drop against the same period a year ago. That's the lowest level in 7 years. Now, one of the things that was operating here is that China was obviously making a huge amount of money off the American consumer, and then they would take that money and come back, and they would make investments in the United States in equities, real estate, But now they're pulling that out. And that may be one of the reasons why the stock markets are not doing well, along with investor nervousness here. Now, analysts are warning. In fact, one analyst, Nikita Maslennikov, is saying that a full-on trade war with China could push the United States into a recession as early as next year. That's absolutely right here. It's absolutely right. Meanwhile, you've got the Federal Reserve is basically trying to get inflation going again, to get the money out there again. And at one time, the Federal Reserve's mandate was to maintain stable prices and fight inflation. But it's evolved to a situation where the Fed and all other central bankers basically want there to be a little bit of inflation because it drives prices up. And mostly what it does is it brings up the amount of borrowing and they make more money. But according to this article that came on out from AntoniusAquinas.com, the Fed's inflation target is impoverishing American workers. And the way that is working is happening on several fronts. First of all, as this caller the other day was mentioning, prices go up, workers demand higher wages, they get the higher wages, this drives prices up, and it becomes a spiral. More importantly, while your paycheck may look bigger because you've gotten a raise, your actual purchasing power has stayed pretty much the same, but you get shoved into a higher tax bracket. Now, the economists can look at all their actuarial tables, but it really doesn't take a PhD to look around and realize that overall, with the exception of the money junkies, the standard of living for the American people has been in decline for decades. The millennials today, far from being able to enjoy the American dream of their parents and grandparents, can't even get out of the parents' home because of how bad the economy has become. The economy is being managed for the benefit of the money junkies. They may have just decided they can't save the system, and now they're just out to loot it and plunder as much as they can before it all comes falling apart. Story coming out of strategicculture.org talking about how Brussels is now rising in revolt against Washington. And a lot of this has to do with the tariffs and sanctions. It has a lot to do with the fact that the U.S. is trying to arm twist the EU into pulling out of the Iran deal. And apparently, Brussels has just reached the point where they say, enough, enough of this bullying, enough of us always following along with Washington, D.C. So U.S. influence around the world is already on the wane. And maybe that's the reason why U.S. foreign policy has devolved into this bullying attitude. Do what we say or bad things will happen to you. No more negotiation, no more diplomacy. Just basically thumping the chest and going on out and saying, we still have the world's mightiest military, at least in terms of the nuclear arsenal. So we're still king of the hill. But we're seeing countries all over the world straining at the leash, as it were. And that's another indicator of a potential Soviet-style collapse of the U.S. government, because the same thing was happening in ancient Rome. The provinces started pulling away. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And Fox News is actually running the story about how Representative Mark Meadows is suggesting or says that there are indications that some of the FBI's FD-302 forms were altered or tampered with during the Hillary email server investigation. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the term, the FD-302 is an FBI agent's handwritten summary of an interview with a witness. And it's basically what the FBI agent thinks was said and thinks was done. And in a lot of cases, that may be the only record of an interview. They don't automatically tape record things, which is weird. If you think about journalists, unless somebody is really off the record, they'll have a tape recording to make sure that they get it right, but not the FBI. So Meadows is now saying that he thinks some of the FD-302s from interviews related to the investigation into the server may have been altered. So bit by bit, this is coming on out. All right, so let's get on back to the economic news. Having learned absolutely nothing from the subprime mortgage disaster, mostly because the American people paid the price for that one rather than the mortgage companies. Subprime car loans are now back, and it's being driven again by the consumer economy's collapse. General Motors is like the all the other automakers. They're having a tough time moving product, and the storage lots are filling up, and they don't know what they want to do. So apparently, GM is relaunching a credit unit. Now, back in 2010, General Motors spent $3.5 billion to purchase AmeriCredit, a subprime lending specialist. The unit is now called GM Financial. And this isn't the first time they did that. Way back before the financial crisis, there was General Motors Acceptance Corporation, or GMAC. And very often you would see on commercials for General Motors cars, GMAC financing available. But basically the goal here is to sell more cars by being willing to finance clients with spotty credit records. And of course, the issue with that is that if those loans start to default, somebody somewhere is going to eat that. Now, over on the Dow, there's been a bit of an upset. General Electric is one of the companies that goes back to the very beginnings of the Dow Industrial Average. It's been one of the basket of companies that are used to basically come up with the health of the stock market. And over the years, companies have come and companies have gone. GE has always been there. Not anymore. GE is now being removed from the Dow Industrial Average and replaced with Walgreens. Now, obviously, it is in the interest of the Dow Jones Industrial Average to have companies that are doing really well to try and get that number back up there. But for General Electric to be taken off that, that is significant. Another icon falling behind the way. Starbucks, otherwise known as the world's biggest public toilet, their stock tumbled. They've announced 150 store closures. Remember back in the days when there was the running joke, a Starbucks on every corner, where you'd be in the middle of a city and there'd be a Starbucks on one corner of an intersection and you'd turn around and there'd be another Starbucks. Well, not anymore. That is going away. And whether it is because of the bad press or the recent issue with homeless coming on in and just hanging out, or the fact that ordinary consumers can no longer spend $5 on a cup of coffee. But Starbucks is now in serious, serious trouble. India has joined an international group that are dumping U.S. dollars in the oil trade in order to bypass the U.S. sanctions. And apparently, Washington, D.C., on top of being arrogant, on top of being a bully, they miscalculated. They're still living in a world where everybody is having to go through the dollar somewhere. And if you go through the dollar, you are therefore wide open to be sanctioned by the U.S. government through the SWIFT system. But some very wise and prudent people in other countries have been setting up parallel systems. And by simply not using the U.S. dollar, the sanctions can't be enforced anymore. So, over in Kyrgyzstan, they're dumping the dollar and buying a lot of gold. And they're concerned about a trade war between Beijing and Washington. And Kyrgyzstan is seeking to boost the share of gold in its $2 billion international reserves to 50% from its current 16%. And the Kyrgyz Central Bank governor, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce that, told Bloomberg, the rules of the game are changing. It doesn't matter what currencies we have in our reserves. dollars make us vulnerable. Meanwhile, South Korea is now talking about a railroad link to Russia through North Korea. Yet another indication of a potential reunification between North and South Korea. And this is going to make a lot of people very, very nervous because the other side of that coin would be China extending its One Belt, One Road project down into South Korea to those manufacturing areas to make it easier, cheaper, and faster to get those products to markets in Europe. This is a threat to nations with large shipping industries who don't want to see those large cargo container ships rusting away at a dock someplace. And it's for that economic reason that I think that efforts to reunify are going to be sabotaged, as they were about 6 years ago when the Koreas were talking reunification. So let's talk about migration. Let's talk about refugees. There's a lot going on there. And there's an article that came out of Europe Reloaded called Europe and the Migrant Wars. And they're saying that basically the only precedence for this kind of migration into Europe goes back to the 4th and 5th centuries AD, when people who were fleeing the Huns just poured into Europe. And that did not end well for the Roman Empire, ushering in centuries which were termed the Dark Ages. So that other individual the other day who said, it's not immigration, it's an invasion. Immigration has requirements. It has rules. What we're seeing now literally is a refugee invasion of Europe and the United States. And unfortunately, it's being encouraged by politicians who see this as necessary to hang on to power, like the Democrats, or to bring about the one world government. Now, as we mentioned before, there are an estimated 100,000 Muslim migrants en route to Western Europe, and countries along a new Balkan migrant route pledged on Thursday to work together to prevent a repetition of the 2015 influx that brought more than a million refugees into Europe from North Africa and the Middle East. So basically, Europe is starting to deploy armed forces. No matter what Brussels is saying, the individual member states of the European Union are working to close their borders. They can't take any more of these people in. It is a huge, huge drain on their already overstressed economy. There's the issue of the skyrocketing crime, rape, contagious diseases coming on in. And the fact that these refugees are not integrating into the community, but are trying to set up little carbon copies of their home countries in the middle of Europe, the no-go zones. Now, up in Sweden, which has been accepting huge amounts of refugees, very liberal, fully on board with the liberal agenda and the one world government, they're starting to falter as well, because there is a political party, the Sweden Democrats, that are far right, despite the name Democrats. They're anti-immigrant. They're starting to call for a referendum on EU membership. So now we've got a Swexit. Jimmy Akesson, 39, branded the EU's large web of corruption and said Sweden should hold a referendum after the general elections this September. So it's all starting to come apart. Over in Hungary, Viktor Orban is praising Italy's Salvini and basically saying that these non-governmental organization crews are little more than white-collar human traffickers that for a fee are bringing people over and putting them into Europe. Now, Hungary is getting ready to criminally prosecute organizations that are supporting the migrants. It's like the U.S. Title VIII laws. Hungary is putting them in, saying that if somebody is helping these migrants get in and get through, there will be legal repercussions. Hungary is planning to introduce a 25% tax on aid groups supporting the immigrants. And even more draconian, Hungary has now approved their Stop Soros law, named for George Soros. And this is the law that is criminalizing aid to illegal migrants. Now, the law was voted on in the parliament earlier today and will likely be signed. But this refugee crisis, this is going to be the end of the EU experiment. Over in Germany, as you know, Angela Merkel is dealing with the Bavarian Revolution, if you will, where some of Germany's political parties who currently form part of her coalition government are now saying that unless she reverses her open border policy, they will leave the coalition. Merkel's government will come on down. There'll be snap elections, which Merkel is not likely to win. So she may be out of a job. Now, they did give her a 2-week window to try and find some kind of a solution across all of Europe. But according to the latest poll coming out of Germany, over 70% of the German citizens say that she's not going to be able to do that. They don't think that she can pull it off. And I'm in agreement because so many of the other countries in Europe are now saying they can't take any more of the refugees. Over in Italy, as you know, they just had a populist, Eurosceptic, anti-immigrant government come into power. And apparently much of the support for that is coming from the younger Italians. Apparently the youth are now becoming populists, at least in Europe. So the momentum is picking up. The momentum is picking up. Now, of course, the big problem is going to be, let's assume that the EU breaks up, the EU member nations go back to having secure, strong borders. What are they going to do with the refugees? Well, a lot of countries are already saying, send them back. You know, we don't want them. We don't need them. Most of them are unable to find work. Most of them don't even speak the indigenous language. It's just been an absolute disaster. And I wonder, I mean, if George Soros really comprehends or is even capable of comprehending the amount of damage he's done to Europe's infrastructure, to Europe's culture, to the European people, or maybe like any billionaire sociopath who dreams of a one-world government, he just doesn't care. That all this damage and destruction and the suffering and this pain and the rapes and the stabbings, it's a small price to pay for a one world government. And I think George Soros has become one of the strongest arguments to limit how much wealth individuals can have. Because people get too much wealth, they can't resist playing God with the rest of the planet or playing with Earth and its people like personal toys. Whether it's George Soros or Bill Gates. Over in Great Britain, they're still going on about Brexit, and apparently there was yet another last-ditch effort to get the Parliament to have a meaningful vote on the final terms of the Brexit deal. That went down. So the Remainers are losing that one, and the British people are understandably getting very angry. After all, they expressed their will in the voting booths. They want out of the EU, and I imagine they are probably as angry with their government for ignoring them as Americans are angry with our government for ignoring us. So let's talk about that southern border and the immigration controversy. Donald Trump signed an executive action to keep families together who are arrested coming across that southern border, and thereby is yanking the rug out of this issue that the Democrats were using to try and distract from the Inspector General report. And he's signed the executive action, over and done with, except there is a small problem. I mean, never mind the additional cost of building facilities to hold all of these families. It's the fact that so many of these children are coming across the border unaccompanied. The other day, we reported on how a lot of these kids are being used as drug mules. They get a backpack full of drugs. They get some money. They walk across the border. The drugs are delivered, and they're just there. They're still going to be kept in those child centers. And the other issue is that many of the children coming across with adults aren't really the children of the adults, which suggests that there's some human trafficking going on as well. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we will be back after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the immigration controversy. And again, this separating of children from their parents goes all the way back to the Bush administration. And the reasoning is very simple. If you go into a convenience store and you rob it and you are arrested for committing a crime, you are going to prison and they're not going to let you take your kids with you because prison is a very dangerous place for children to be. And so that's what's been going on. But the Democrats are out there trying to make it look like this was Trump's idea to do it, because he's trying to crack down on illegal immigration. And again, as we saw in yesterday's hearing for the IG report, they wanted from the IG report, they tried to hijack the hearing. Now, something that happened yesterday, and I think this is a really good idea, Trump is saying that he will authorize the cancellation of U.S. financial aid to every nation that is sending illegal immigrants. In other words, if they don't close their borders and stop this flood of illegals infiltrating America, they're going to be cut off. No more checks from Uncle Sam, meaning no more checks from your wallet. And I think that's a really, really good idea. Now, there's another case. This is, I was mentioning this before. This is over in Breitbart. There was a migrant woman who was arrested coming across the border with children, and it turned out the three children were not her own. And this may be the reason why Sessions was out there saying maybe it's time for DNA tests. But the real solution is we just got to close the border. And people who want to come to this country have to come in through the legal immigration process. And there's a great deal of hypocrisy over this whole issue. Remember about earlier in the week, the Democrats were out there literally saying that Donald Trump was putting children in extermination centers. Well, isn't that what Planned Parenthood is? And the corporate media is expressing all of this outrage over the border crisis. But so far, we're not seeing a lot of reporting about child trafficking, rape, and murder of American kids in this country. They always sit on it. Remember the Franklin scandal? That one reached all the way up to the White House, and the corporate media just shut that one down here. Now, you've probably seen this photo. It's been going viral. It's about this cute little boy, and he's very obviously in a cage. And it's been going around saying, this is what Trump is doing. This is what Trump is doing. Well, it turns out the photo is actually from a staged protest where a bunch of people set up a cage, and they got into it with this kid, arguing for open borders and unrestricted influx of immigrants. And the picture was taken there. It was not, in fact, taken at one of the child centers. Right now, it's estimated that the Trump administration could be holding 30,000 border kids by August. We're going to take a break for station identification. Back with our number three after these few words.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.